This is the Average Guy Network, and you have found Home Gadget Geek, show number 397, recorded on April 11th, 2019. Here at Home Gadget Geeks, we cover all the favorite tech gadgets that find their way in your home, news, reviews, product updates, and conversation, all for the average tech guy. I'm your host, Jim Collison, broadcasting live from the AverageGuy.tv studios here. And Mike, I thought we had spring like on the way, and no, apparently not. It's chilling off for the weekend. Thank God no snow, right?
Well, I thought we almost skipped spring and went straight to summer, because this weekend my boys were literally out in the backyard, shirts off, playing in the water. Mainly because it felt just so nice. There was no wind. It was like 75 degrees, which compared to what we have been, they were loving it. I'm like, did we skip spring? And no, it's Nebraska. So don't worry. Winter will come roaring back. And it was a little bit cold today.
Our best day is not even as good as the worst day in Southern California. So, you know, the sun comes out and we're all just stripping clothes off.
Yeah.
Like, hey, guys, it's 65 degrees. Right. Like, I don't know. It's the sun.
It feels great.
We haven't seen it in forever. So, cold, chilly night tonight. We are in one of those cyclone bombs coming through again and dumping a foot of snow. So if you're north of us, North Dakota, western Nebraska, eastern Colorado, or Minnesota, a little bit of Wisconsin, we hope that you guys hunker down. The snow will be gone as fast as it arrived. It's gonna warm up behind it and you'll be done. But stay safe if you're in those states, and appreciate you guys taking it and it not coming to Omaha. It could have easily come through here. Of course, we post a show with world-class show notes, and we have a bunch of them tonight at theaverageguy.tv. You can also join us on our live mobile app. Don't forget, you can get that for free. It's available iPhone or Android, just in the store. Just search Home Gadget Geeks, or you can go to homegadgetgeeks.com and just download them. I have two buttons right there. You can get it right from there. Want to thank our Patreon subscribers and appreciate you guys' sponsorship of that and kind of helping me pay for that to get it out to you. Appreciate it. You can find it homegadgetgeeks.com. Want to also thank those of you who jumped in the Discord group. We have had quite a run over the last couple weeks. A bunch of you jumped in there to do that. And I'm going to look at it. And looks like it's, I don't know, 30 or so that have, well, those are, we have 17 online right now. And then another 42 of you are offline.
So 62 of us.
62 have jumped in. You could jump in too. If you haven't done that yet, head out to theaverageguy.tv/discord, join the group. We're keeping it relatively spam and troll free. So we got a couple moderators out there. I want to make it as good or better than the home server show forums or the reset forums that Dave does. We're just trying to keep them nice and clean and helpful. If you see a troll, let me know. Let one of the admins know. Well, you'll get the boot. And then don't be a troll in some of those things. Okay. So we'll do that. Big thanks to Rich Hay. He was on 2 weeks ago. We took last week off. Sorry if you were like, hey, where's the podcast? Where'd it go? I took some time off, and I was in New Orleans last week on a work assignment. It was super fun. We had a good time, although it rained the 2 days that I was there. A local flooding, Mike. We had some, Katrina-like flooding, but we had some local flooding. It rained so much down there. Of course, New Orleans just sits in a basin, right? I mean, it's not like it's, I mean, it's below sea level. So.
Okay. Is that why? Cause I've always heard that they, you know, even just a little bit of rain can sometimes affect them a lot.
Yeah, no.
Never been there though. So it makes sense.
We didn't get too much. I did get a chance to, they have walk up bars where you can walk around the streets. It's illegal to carry alcohol and smoke while you're walking around on the streets. So I got a bourbon, got a cigar, walked around last Thursday. It was Thursday night. Last Thursday night when we've been podcasting, enjoyed that. That was kind of fun. But Rich Hay, thanks for coming on the week before. Of course, WindowsObserver.com. We talked a lot about Windows 10. And it looks like Microsoft's going to take a little bit of a different direction. Kind of we all thought that Windows 10 would release here in April. And I don't think we're going to see it now, Mike, till early May.
Okay.
And they're changing some of the cadence and the way they do things. It's actually, going to be named the May 2019 update. So if you're watching your computers, we just went through a Patch Tuesday this week. It's April. So you'll probably get one more cumulative, and then there will be a launch sometime in May. I would say, 20 days from now, something you want to watch for. If you got critical processes running on your computer, you got things kind of going on that you need to watch for where automated reboots aren't helpful. Of course, I have all of those things going on because I got miners running and those kinds of things for crypto. By the way, what crypto show this week? So if you haven't joined us for the crypto show, stay around if you're listening live, or you can go over to Patreon and catch it right now if you want to do that. If you're listening after the fact, theaverageguy.tv/Patreon, we provide them. The crypto show's out there. So a little bit of change, a little update from that show 2 weeks ago. You just kind of want to watch what's going on. This new, the 1903 or the May update is going to be super confusing. It's going to get some changes. Kyle had complained to me about a year ago, maybe less, about he had Windows 10 Home. And Home, they gave you no ability to delay anything for any reason at any time on the updates. And it sounds like we're going to get some more updating ability in some of the newer builds that are coming out. So still not what a lot of people want. I think a lot of tech enthusiasts want to just be able to delay those updates forever or until they say Windows is never going to go for that. Or Microsoft is never going to go for that. But it's now is the time to start watching. So make sure you get the update if you want it, you delay it if you can, whatever you're going to do. I would just keep an eye on that. That should be here by early May. Mike, welcome back. You got super sick, right?
We did. We got super sick with a stomach bug hit both Hannah and I. And oh man, I'll save you guys the gory details, but we are down for the count. I texted Jim. Thursday was the easier of the 2 days, but I was still like, dude, I don't know if I can hack it for an hour. So luckily Rich was there and offered a great show. It was also, I listened to that one in audio form. And it was great. So I'm glad he was there. But yeah, I missed the show. I texted Jim or I Facebooked him this week and I was like, man, I'm so excited to be on. I feel like it's been forever because with us being off last week and me being off the week before that, I'm excited to talk some tech.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's get to it. Although we got some housekeeping to do. One, while you were out, and I think you saw these, but Ron sent us the coins that he 3D printed, which is super cool. This is kind of the plain one with just a solid green on that. He also sent one that has white, so green with white in the middle. This one actually has the glasses logo. It's harder to see because of my light, so I apologize for that. This, you might want to go over to YouTube. If you listen to the audio version, you want to see these.
Well, that's what I was doing. So I only listened to the audio 2 weeks ago, so I actually have not seen these, and they are super cool. I was looking at them in the pre-show, and I love the big one behind you, too. And they look amazing. Yeah, I cannot believe those came off a 3D printer, to be honest.
There's a comparison of the two.
The level of detail you can get to is really cool on those.
Yeah, no, really great. This one's got our names. So Mike on this side. And I'm on here somewhere. It says, I think it says Jim and Mike, which is super cool. And then right over my, is it over this one? Yeah.
Yeah, over your left shoulder on our right side of the screen. There you go.
Pointing to it right now on the screen right here. It's available. That's a big one. That's good size and super cool. 3D printed. I'm sure Ron is this. He's in the chat room right now. Would these be final? Like, are you happy enough with these that you'd be like, oh yeah, I'd give that plan out to somebody. I'd make that plan open source and anybody could print it on their 3D printers. So you can drop that in the chat, Ron, if you think that's cool. So
I think they're awesome. I hope he's happy enough with them for a final draft. Cause I think they're really cool.
I'm going to bring these over to you at some point, Mike.
I'm excited to see them in person.
See them in person and pick one. Have it there. Maybe we can throw it on mount it on your workbench or something.
Yeah.
Behind you. Super cool. And Ron, thanks for, he said there's a file for it. Thanks for doing that. Super cool to be able to get that from a listener and that kind of expertise on that. And so Ron, we appreciate you doing that and appreciate the note that he sent as well inside the envelope. And thanks for doing that. Mike, this week, my wife's UPS bit the dust. Thank you. There we go. I don't know where I was going on that one. I'm a 2 beers in and this could get really interesting because I have a third with the Guinness. That's
all right. There we go.
We'll see how this goes by the end of the,
it'll be a great crypto show.
You're probably right. If you want to see a real train wreck tonight, just wait
just
around.
Wait
just around wait. The crypto show. I have an APC UPS 350. If you look that up in the show notes, there's a link for it. Pretty standard UPS that I put. She has a Core i5 computer, 8 gig, 16 gig of RAM. It doesn't really matter. I think she's got a 500 gig or no, maybe I put a 250 gig SSD in there. Pretty low requirements for the computer. Runs dual monitors. Don't necessarily need to back those up. We really use UPSs here at the Collison house. Because for a time, we would get brownouts where a squirrel would jump across the line or for whatever. We had a transformer in the neighborhood was not working very well. And so we'd get these drop in power and then they come right back on. It would just wreak havoc on the computers, right? So I ended up putting UPSs on everything, and I've kind of right sized the UPSs around the house. So the networking gear and all the, you know, all the networking modem routers, they're all on their own UPS. So that's a smaller, doesn't take a lot to run that equipment. So that's kind of a separate one. And then between all the PCs I have in the studio here, they're separated between three actually UPSs. I've got some big 1000, some APC 1000s that are down here. Those are pretty industrial strength. They'll run a couple PCs. I've got another 550. I think it's back here. Runs the Kangaroo. It runs the small Dell. It runs the Drobo, some of those kinds of things. Hers went bad. The 350 is not a very, I mean, it's a pretty inexpensive. I probably paid $50 for it, and I probably bought it locally at Best Buy or something like that, just on a sale kind of deal. I kind of have a question for you, Mike, because it's like I'm at this decision time. So probably $40 right now. I could get an Amazon Basics. The link is in the show note if you want to see this. So I can get an Amazon Basics piece of crap. Well, come on, you know, there, it can't be those can't be quality. This is Walmart, or like, this is the Walmart brand, right?
Well, I was actually pretty excited because I was going to tell you, I have one. Oh, I use it right under this desk and it's been great.
Sorry.
it's not the one that's on my server rack, right? Cause I have the regular, whatever, what brand are those? CyberPower 1400. It's a really nice one in the rack. Works great. But for my desk, I have the Amazon Basics. I was going to actually open up the link that you put, because I see if it's the same one. And this thing, honestly, no complaints. It doesn't have any of the fancy features, right? Like, you don't have the screen that shows you the output, anything like that. But if you don't need that, if you just need backup power, and it has the beeper on it that alerts you if it's being overdrawn. So when I plug in, I realize that when my printer kicks on, that can overpower it from ever, because I have a lot of stuff plugged into it. Actually, I have this whole desk, my iMac, my screen, my Xbox, all of it plugged in there. And but you know, it works well. So don't knock it. Are you talking about the 400 VA one?
Yeah, the 400 VA.
Yep.
That's out there. Yep.
Works fine. Okay. I think you maybe go for it.
Okay. So before we go for it, hold on. There's a couple options.
Okay.
So $40. Okay. $39.95 with Prime, shipping's free. So $40, right? Or I could get a new battery to replace that, the APC. It's a nice unit, right? It's got I don't use any of those features, so they don't really matter. It's just a UPS at that point. That battery shipped Prime, $20, so half the price.
Right? Okay.
Or I could upgrade to a little bit better UPS, you know, for $60. You can get a pretty good unit that would sit in there a little more. It could handle a little bit more. Now, I don't plug a lot into that thing, so I don't know if I need it. But the upgrade to it is $60. So $60 to upgrade and replace, $40 to drop the Amazon Basics and be done with it, or do the eco-friendly. And I bet I could probably take it down to a light bulbs plus or whatever. Find it locally. Although I don't know why I would. For $20 and free shipping, I should just have them shipped to me. So what do you think? $60, replace it. $40, get a new one, but do the Amazon Basics. $20, go with the battery. What are your thoughts?
So there's one more option I'll throw in there, and that's the CyberPower, which is the more reputable brand. I do like CyberPower. I think they work pretty well. 350 VA, so not 400, but still 255 watt for the same $39.
Okay.
So you could go that route. That's actually probably what I would do. Okay. I would go CyberPower. You get more of the name brand, the Amazon Basics, for $39. I don't know. I guess it depends. Okay. If you're happy with the unit, the battery, I guess, that's all this thing is a battery, right?
It really is. Yeah.
So it's not like one of those, oh, well then the CPU is going to go bad and the RAM. No, it's just a battery. So maybe you do go just battery. I always like, if I'm going to switch that anyway, you know, but then again, you could do two more batteries. I don't know how long that battery has lasted for the price of replacing it.
Yeah. I wonder, that's one of those things. I need to take a piece of blue tape, put it on there and write the date you put it in the kitchen, just so you get some idea.
And what's the power rating on the one you have currently?
350.
350. Okay.
350 VA.
So you'd be stepping up a little bit with the Amazon Basics.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you get a little bit more. I don't know if I need it. Right. One of the things I've noticed whenever I bought replacement batteries, it seems like they never last as long as the factory ones. Like, you get them and they seem at least my experience with replacing batteries and things like this is that you get that replacement battery and it's a half to three quarters of what you got out of the new one. It seems like the factory one lasts so much longer. And then you go to the replay. Now, it's totally anecdotal. I haven't written any of that down. I have no proof that it just seems to be that way. Maybe because I'm paying attention to it. Other Jim says in the chat room, I could just replace it with a laptop. Like,
that's a good point. Yeah. A little more expensive.
Yeah. And she's been talking about wanting a laptop. So this actually could play into it right now. Get her a laptop, set a little docking station, use those two monitors, and then, you know, she could take it with her. Then that Core i5 would come back into the lab, right? And it's a good little box, a little Lenovo Mini, right? So it's really thin, really short, uses the shortened. If you put something in it, you know, you got to use the half height cards for it. So Ken asks, any sine wave? No, I don't know if I need the sine wave features that come with some of the more expensive UPSs. Many of them are coming that way by default now. It's kind of what I've noticed. Ken says, okay, a Core i5 miner.
Ken read my mind. I was going to go in. I was like, I'm sure it's going to be another mining machine down in Jim's.
We'll talk about that in the crypto section that we do later. Well, I'll have to decide. Mark says to replace the battery, and I kind of lean in that way. He also says I ended up replacing batteries in his about every 3 to 4 years. That's kind of what I expect. You know, the batteries are only, you know, they're 6 inches by 6 inches by 8 inches, 10 inches maybe, right? They just pull the connectors, put it back in, you're back up and running. For $20, Mike, you know, that's kind of like, do I really want to, you know, when you're thinking about that, do I really want to do that? And then I'm sure I could take the battery down to Batteries Plus or whatever and drop it off. I don't think they would charge me to take the battery. I don't know. What do you think? Do you think, you know, those battery stores, do you think they...
Oh, yeah, they recycle. I do know that for sure. But
do you think they'd charge me to drop
one? No, that Buy? I don't know.
I bet Best Buy would take it without...
I know there are places that are free around here that take them.
Okay. Well, I'll have to give it... I have to give it a look. We mentioned this in the first part of the show. We've gotten a lot of good conversation out of Discord. Love to have you join us over theaverageguy.tv/Discord. Mike, what's the best? What have you seen? You're in there more than I am. What have you seen? What's been good?
We've had some fantastic conversation about a lot of stuff, but the ones I've seen that have been really taken off are home networking and Unraid. We've had a lot of good questions. Gavin Campbell was walking us through the process of switching over to Unraid, going through getting his Docker set up, everything like that. I Am Spartacus actually built a whole new box. He built pretty much just a disk box to attach to his Unraid. And it was really cool what he's doing. I Am Spartacus, he is taking Unraid and he is making that his main machine. So instead of having a NAS and a main computer, he pretty much built a very beefy. I mean, he took his gaming rig and essentially turned it into Unraid. And then just runs a VM. Super smart. I mean, I think we've been having some fun debate in there about whether a lot of people should consider doing this. If you have a big beefy PC, having Unraid as your main operating system, and you have all the Dockers, can do it that way, and then you can spin up your VM whenever you need to and have full, I mean, he games on this thing. It's a beefy box. So kind of cool there. And then Jason Bryant brought up a really good conversation about getting into NAS. So he's never had a NAS before. And he wanted to know, okay, what are people doing out there for network storage? He has always been using the external just USB drives. And we were, you know, the whole kind of community was, okay, do you want to build your own? Do you want out of the box? And he ended up going out of the box. He said, I don't really want to build, don't really want to tinker. I kind of just want something that, you know, set it and forget it. And so he ended up going with Synology. So those are just kind of like three different types of conversations that have been going on out there. What I love about it, though, and I think Scootover said earlier in the chat, is a very active chat for 62 people. You would think this was a Discord server of thousands of people because it's about the same level of interaction that you're getting from a huge Discord server. Everyone there is really engaged, a lot of good help. I've been throwing a bunch of questions out there. I asked about, and I'm going to totally forget who helped me out, but I actually threw out there, I have a Simply Safe doorbell. And I was asking who wants to help me out with a 3D printer that can print an angle mount? I need, like, it gives you an up or down angle, and I needed a left to right angle, which Simply Safe doesn't have. And someone found it right out there, found the plan. Someone's already put the 3D printer plans out there, so now I just need to head down to the Dew Space here in Omaha and just print it out and see if that'll work. A lot of great conversation going out there. It's really fun too, just to hop out there, have a quick conversation with a lot of just tech minded people. It's pretty much like our chat room. For those of you who don't get to come out and join us live, it's a great place to just go and interact with these, with the fellow listeners.
I've gotten the feeling that those non-Facebook people who always resisted me on Facebook have come over here, and that's cool. That's great.
And this platform is really good for conversing, right? It's not just a post and then a bunch of comments. This is some back and forth. I think the way we've done channels has worked out really well, because you can turn on and off notifications based on what channels you're interested in. So if you're really into Unraid, but you don't care about barbecue, turn off barbecue. Turn on Unraid.
Everybody cares about barbecue.
That was a bad example. You know, you don't care about home network, smart home. Maybe
some people don't care about breathing, but everybody cares
about barbecue. Right. So it's a great place. And if you don't know that, if you're new to Discord, you can, if you're getting annoyed by the notifications, you can go and turn those on and off they're pretty granular on the settings there. So turn on and off as you like. You can get notified just when you're mentioned. You can get notified just on certain channels. And if you guys have other channels that you want us to put in there, if you guys want to have conversations around a certain topic, we can definitely create those channels. I think right now we've done a good job of creating a channel if we see that there's a lot of conversation around one topic. Yeah. We saw Unraid probably pretty much needed its own, and we were right. There's a ton of conversation on Unraid. That just took off.
Yeah, it's been great. Those guys have conversed with me a little bit over at Unraid since that show, and have been a little surprised by this, the fervor.
Oh, really?
It was generated. Yeah.
Good.
So that's pretty cool. I just noticed too, we put an online deals channel in there, and Schoonover, what normally he would post to the Facebook group, he's now posting to Discord. So another good reason to come over and take a look at the online deals there in the group. No, super cool. Appreciate you guys out there doing that and participating in that. I've been monitoring it. I haven't had a ton of time necessarily to work on it. I did. Ryan posted a 8 terabyte Western Digital Easy Store drive. I can't believe I bought it at $129 from Best Buy. Just couldn't resist.
You snagged it, didn't you?
I did.
You cannot resist an 8 terabyte drive. That is like Jim's kryptonite. If he sees a 8 terabyte for less than $150, he's gonna buy it.
Here's the box. Ken pinged me and he was like, hey, you gonna buy that thing? I'm like, I don't think so. And then that afternoon I was out at Best Buy. They had one left on the shelf and I was like, okay, that's an omen. It's not,
you need it.
It's not really,
it's talking,
but I was like, that's an omen. I just need to get another one. And so we'll talk. I've got a follow up to my Seagate story we'll do in the crypto show, but yeah, I picked up one of those, a little bit influenced by Ryan, who dropped that in the chat room or in the Discord group. So
Jim needs to turn off notifications to online deals. You know, just
be careful. Schoonover has posted a couple.
They're SSD, really good.
One terabyte SSDs right now are the sweet spot, right? $100.
That almost much, got me right there.
Yeah, I know. And you can get the NVMe. He put one in there. That's 104. I ended up pulling the trigger on a Samsung. I paid, I think, $129 for the 1 terabyte. $840, I want to say, is what I got. Not the top of the line, but the kind of the one below it. I think I paid $120. He's got a Team Group 1 terabyte out there for $96. So, oh my gosh, watch your wallet. If you're going to join our deals group, watch your wallet. It's going to be cool. So, Mike, thanks for you being it. You're out there quite a bit, and I appreciate you engaging in the conversation. Jason, who you mentioned, Jason Bryant, in the chat room, he says, yeah, Heather had asked, hope the NAS setup is going well. And he said, yeah, I'm moving stuff to it, starting with iTunes just to get my feet wet. So Jason, welcome to the world of having some storage.
You're going to love it. It's so addicting. Yeah, I started with a 2-bay QNAP and now full 15-bay Unraid. So it's a disease. A little bit.
Well, let's be honest. Nobody does it quite like Mike Weegar does those kinds of things. I have this saying, anything worth doing is worth overdoing. Mike, you follow me on that. Although you do it so much faster than anything I've ever seen. You're like,
just jump.
You're like, I think I'm going to done. Like, you don't
I've got a little bit of tech ADD. I just kind of jump all over the place. No one knows what I'm going to do. I get bored really quick and decide to switch things up.
Hey, let's switch gears a little bit. You threw in the news section, Apple has a credit card offering. Like, seriously?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, go.
Super cool. Okay, not super cool, but interesting, right? Mm-hmm. So what's interesting to me is I work in the financial services industry, wealth advisors, right? That's my world now. Our CEO is very much tech focused, right? Wants to be on the bleeding edge. Our technology is a main reasons that advisors come in and use our platform because the client experience technology wise is amazing, fantastic. And he has always said, you know, he does a lot of speeches and you can find him online. And he is very open about the fact that, I mean, he uses the Amazon example. But he says Apple as well. He's like, Amazon, Apple, they are coming to our space. And if you think they're not, you're wrong. And so we need to be innovative because it is not long until you can go to Amazon and they can manage your money too, right? So this was really interesting to me because it was literally a direct reflection of what I hear my CEO say all the time. Apple coming out with their own credit card. Now, this is nothing new, right? I mean, a lot of companies out there, Amazon, you can go and get their debit card. You can go and get these cards from a lot of different companies. But the way Apple is doing it and the integration, it's not just your standard debit or credit card. And that's what I think is pretty cool about this. And I they're definitely not the first, but this is going to be, I think, one of the biggest implementations of a card like this. So if you guys head out to the website, it's going to be linked there, apple.com/apple-card. You guys can check this out. It is essentially just like any other credit card. You sign up for it, right? There's an interest rate. There's nothing special. Like, all the terms are pretty much standard, except for the fact of kind of in the how it operates in the middle. So first of all, your physical card, the physical card you get is a really cool like titanium card, and it has no numbers on it. None. It just has your name. That's it. And it has the chip and it has the SWAT, the mag strip on the back. And that is it. No numbers. So like, it's really hard to steal a credit card number. Even if you got the credit card, you wouldn't have the number on it. So what this does is it's a lot like, you know, there are some websites that are doing this now. I think security.com, if you go there, you can plug in your current credit card and it'll do this for you. But essentially Apple is generating a special credit card number for every single vendor that you go to. So if you are going to use this on Amazon, if you're going to use this at Target, it's going to generate a kind of like a one-time number for you to plug in and use. Makes it super simple for, especially for, think about those trials you always sign up for, like, okay, seven days free, and then it's $49 a month and you always forget to cancel. Well, you can just use the number and then cancel that number right away. And you know that if it ever goes to try and charge that $50, it's not going to be able to because that number is gone. So when it comes to security, it's going to be really nice as far as security goes. People, I think, are going to start, when it forces you to do that, there is no number on the card. You cannot go and just put a standard number, and you have to be secure about this. If you want a number, you have to open up the app on your phone, the wallet app, and get the number that you're going to plug in. Now, is that sometimes more of a pain? Okay, maybe. But is the security worth it? Yeah. But the main part that I really like about this is that all of the data that it gives to your wallet. Now, when I say data that it gives to your wallet, it's giving it to the wallet on your iPhone, which is not being communicated back to Apple. So Apple doesn't know what you're charging. Apple's all about security here. And if you guys have noticed, they've been setting this up because all of their commercials lately, if you've seen a commercial for an iPhone, it's about how secure it is. It's about securing your data. And I think Apple realized that they no longer have, and some would argue they never did, have a competitive advantage when it comes to hardware, right? There's the Apple tax you pay when you buy the hardware. It's not any better than any other hardware. So they said, okay, well, what is our competitive advantage here? And I think when you compare them to a Google or an Amazon, Apple is not about your data. They don't care. That's not how they make money. So they can really play up the security factor and the information, and people will trust them a little bit more than they would other companies. So the data it gives you on your phone is really cool. If you are trying to save for something, if you are trying to cut down your spending in certain areas, you set that all in the app, and the app categorizes your spending, and it'll kind of help you towards those goals. It'll help you either pay off the card. It'll help you save for something and spend less on the food category. If you guys have ever used Mint or any of these apps that pull in your transactions and categorize them, it's exactly the same. So like I said, it's nothing new, nothing innovative, but the entire ecosystem that it puts you into, if you have an iPhone and if you want to use this card for all your transactions, really could help you on your track to kind of, you know, fulfilling your financial goals. Now, there's always the pessimist view on all of this, right? Like, oh, it's just like everything else. They're a credit card. They want their fees. They want you to spend money. They don't really want you to save. They don't really want you to not spend. Okay, possibly. But the tools they give you, if you use them correctly, and if you're disciplined, could really help you out. And it's really cool. So I'm really excited. I am personally going to use the card. I think it'll be a great tool to have all that data in my phone and be able to track all of that sort of spending. And then it works really well with Apple Pay too. So Apple Pay is the main way they want you to use the card. They really don't want you to be swiping that card. They want Apple Pay to be the main source. And I think there is actually, you get more reward points if you scan through Apple Pay. So if you use Apple Pay, you might get 2% cash back. Whereas if you just swipe the card, you get 1%. So there's like some incentives there, obviously, because then they're not running through, you know, MasterCard, who actually has the card. So I think they teamed up with, I'm going to get it wrong. I need to look up who they teamed up with for this card. And someone maybe in the chat room can help me out with it. I'm drawing a blank on who they teamed up with. But they teamed up with one of the big banks because you need to. Apple can't be the bank. They need to team up with a bank. But it's a very interesting concept. There's another few little perks here. There's not going to be, they're not going to hike up your rate if you miss a payment. You will have a late fee. You won't have a late fee. It'll just keep, I mean, obviously it'll just accumulate still with interest, but there's no penalty for missing a payment. So kind of interesting there. And when you get your rate, whatever your interest rate is, it is going to be at the bottom. So all these credit card companies, when they find out your credit score is 750, okay, here's the range of what they're going to give you for your interest. And Apple says that they're going to go at the bottom of that. So you can trust that you're going to get probably the best rate compared to all the other cards you can get. Yet to be seen if that's true or not. We'll have to see. Obviously, these are not out yet. They come out this summer, so people have not started applying. So once people start applying, we'll start to see, you know, if the proof's in the pudding and if they're actually telling the truth on this, if it is one of the best rates you can get. Goldman Sachs, thank you. Heather came. So it's Goldman Sachs. They teamed up with Goldman Sachs to do the card. I'm excited about it. You guys have seen me over the past 2 years get really critical of Apple, and on some of their recent releases, I've still been a little critical on them, but I really like the card. They had a lot of other feature things that they released actually in this announcement that I'm not even going to talk about because I don't think they're that cool. Apple TV Plus, I don't think that's great. Newsstand, not that excited about it. Apple Card, all right, they got my attention here. So we will see how it turns out, but I think it could be very interesting. And I think for the right person, for us, Hannah and I, we obviously have our bank. And then we like the American Express card. It's the charge card. It's the one you have to pay off every month, right? Keeps us honest. Doesn't really allow us to carry over a balance. But we always struggle to get the data and be able to see what we're spending money on because American Express doesn't pull into Mint, which doesn't pull into this. We try and use budget apps that don't all. American Express doesn't really like their data going anywhere, and we don't really want it going anywhere. So if we could have one card that we could use that would have all of that in there and be accessible on our phones, it would be pretty nice. So I'm excited. We will see how this goes. Like I said, they're releasing it in the summer. And so you can sign up now to get the latest information on it. So if you plug in your email address, you'll get notified when they are ready to take applications and it'll be out this summer.
Pretty interesting. They say, you know, other credit cards have fees. Apple Card doesn't. No, really, no annual fees, no cash advance fees, no international fees, no over the limit or return payment fees. And best of all, no hidden fees, which means your balance won't catch you by surprise. They're making a run at a no nonsense credit card. And that's not necessarily new. There's been some competition in the space.
Yeah.
There's not very many credit cards left really in the market, right? We think of Chase and Bank of America, and you mentioned Discover is still out there, and you mentioned American Express. There's a few others, but for the most part, you know, they consolidated back in the early 2000s. They all consolidated. Went high fees, and then they began to compete to bring them down. Of course, making a late payment is what they slam you on these days. Many of them are competing on the international fees. There are special credit cards where, you know, if you're gonna charge in other countries, that's waived. So there's been some competition there. I kind of like this. They're really kind of making a no-nonsense approach to it. One of the questions I would have, and I don't even let – so I use a Chase card for my daily transactions. And they do all that fancy exporting stuff. That's actually not as attractive to me, Mike, as being able to do automatic payments. So I just want that thing to automatically pay every single month the amount that's due. And Bank of America won't do that. And some of the other cards I've had won't do it. Chase will. You can go in there and do it yourself, but I want it to pay automatically every time the amount that my card is due. They don't, of course, they don't want to do that because they want you to carry some interest, right? That's kind of why they do with it. And Chase is kind of taking an approach similar to what Apple is doing here, is they're really trying to help their customers in some ways rather than trying to just nickel and dime them on that. We have our car financed through Chase as well, which means I go to one site to get both the loan and they also have a great, they have got a great payment system. So it may take something for me. I feel like I have a pretty good card. I don't pay anything. I never go international, but I'm intrigued by this. Although I do find, and when I was younger, I would spend a ton of time on the analytics. Like I wanted all the budget stuff. Lately, not so much. I kind of want to, like, I know I've got the money. Our spending's kind of under control. We kind of know what we can and can't spend. We don't need to budget down to the penny. I get a little frustrated with that, with having all that data, because I want to take it, once I have it, then I want to take it down to the nth degree.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, God, is that worth it? Is it worth it to balance to the penny on these things all the time? For some people, and when I was younger, it was. When we were younger and we were poor, it was super important. I could account for every dime.
Right? Yeah. Well, and it, exactly. So I think it's a stage of life thing, right? Like that's the stage Hannah and I are in now where it's, you know, every penny has to be accounted for. We've got, you know, you got childcare costs, you've got student loans, you've got car, you've got all these things that you're, we're still relatively new to this world of having all of these expenses all at once. So being able to track that, you know, we've got to get 5-10 years under our belt of having the system down, you know, knowing what we can and can't spend on. So for us, it's a great idea. And really what gets me on this is the security of the card. That I really like. Schlumpy put a great comment in the chat that I forgot about, where each transaction, you can see the exact name of the merchant and it'll show you a map of where they're at.
Yeah.
So if that swipes and it's not you, you cancel that one individual number. You don't have to cancel your entire card. You don't have to get a whole new card because each thing uses a new number. Yeah. And especially if you're using Apple Pay, that's just easy. They don't even have your number. And then in the off chance you plug it into an online site that gets compromised, they got one number that's no good anymore. You're fine. You're totally covered.
I got to catch on to Apple Pay. It has, like, for all these other methods of payment, I have caught on very easily. And it's just not natural and intuitive to me to pull out my phone to pay for something. And I know for some that is. I just, I am so wallet, pull out the
card. And you even have your watch, so you really need to get used to on the watch. It's a double tap. It's on your wrist. Double tap that bar and just lay it down. It took me a while too, Jim, to get used to it. I kept even like, going for my wallet, I'm like, no, let's just get used to it. And now it's my watch. Every time you set your default card, put it on your Chase card, double tap and just lay it down. Because I have found that there are very few places now that don't take it.
I was going to ask it. Is it most places here in Omaha for you now?
Yes, it's most places. The only thing that annoys me is the gas pump. That you still have to pull out your card and swipe it. If you go inside, you could do it, but on the outside, no. But yeah, most places, even vending machines now, Jim, if they have that tap, I mean, you can just put your watch up there and get yourself a soda, which is kind of dangerous, but also awesome at the same time. So like our vending machine downstairs in our basement,
I did Apple Pay at a vending machine at the University of Nebraska at Lincoln. Last time I was there, I needed something and it had Apple Pay. And I'm like, okay, you know, I need to figure this thing out.
Yeah.
And I just need to do more of it. So it is, I will probably go with you on this. So as we think about, what I would do is I would apply for the card and I would use it first, just me before we try and kind of make it a thing. Sarah's also on Android. So
she wouldn't be able to do it.
Yeah.
I think you would pretty much need your phone.
Yeah.
Unless you were just swiping it, but.
Well.
We'll have to see how that works. Actually, I don't know how that works.
Yeah, no, I think it'd be worth it to open it, try it. It's one of those, it's novel enough to just give it a try. And if there's no fees, if there's no annual fees, if they're not feeing you to death, that's some of these good cards have these, well, okay, we're going to give you all these things. And then there's $75 a year. And so you start thinking, well, God, I don't want that card just to sit there. Yeah. If I'm going to pay those kinds of fees. So I do think we are maybe coming to that tipping point with financial services where the security pieces, with our phones, with our credit cards, people are getting so sick of, and credit cards in the United States have taken it on the chin. They're the ones who absorb most of the costs of fraud here. Right. Not that way in every country, but here in the United States, for sure, the credit card companies take that. So of course, you know, Apple's got $450 billion in the bank or whatever. So I don't think they're really too worried about it. They could probably operate this thing at a loss for a couple of years before they really get going. So it says on the site this summer, is that like June or July, or do we know?
Yeah, I mean, if we're going off air power, this could be in 3 years and then they cancel the project. So that was the other thing that went official. If you want some more news, Apple announced 2 years ago this AirPower mat. It was going to be their wireless mat that you could throw down your iPhone, your earphones, and throw them down anywhere. They said coming next year. That year came and went. Dead silence. Apple's not mentioning it. They finally, so what was it, 2 years later, said, okay, guys, it's official. This is not coming out. We're in into problems. We're not doing it. And it was great.
It happens, right? It happens.
Oh, it happens. Totally happens. Just it hadn't happened to Apple before. Well, recent Apple.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. No, it happens. All right. Well, we'll keep up on it. That's definitely something that's interesting to me. And I think from an average guy tech standpoint, a really doable project.
Oh, totally.
For most people. If you're in the Android ecosystem, probably not. But for those of you who are on iPhone and want to give it a try, it shouldn't cost any more, cost you anything to get on it, and maybe something worth a try. Some really interesting technology as far as that comes. Mike, you got another item you want to show there in your hands. I'm a little skeptical on this one. So show me what you got
there. Okay, so this is a non-techie thing, but I hope some of you guys come to my rescue and think this is pretty cool. So I went down, we've always talked about our YouTube rabbit holes, Jim, what you two and I like. You're really into the space stuff. Anything space catches your eye.
Yeah.
I somehow stumbled across this kind of community of people doing EDC, their everyday carry, things that they carry with them all the time. You could almost relate it a little bit to preppers, right? They want to be prepped for every single situation. So what do you have on you at all times? And then what's the best gear? What's the best way to carry it? And I have just had a total blast this, because this is stuff that I do usually have in my pockets. So I had some of it in my pockets all the time, but not all of it. So what I have done, actually, what brought this all together for me was this pouch. So I know a lot of you guys out there are going to make fun of me for this. This is a leather pocket protector, is essentially what it is. It's like an organizational pouch. So it is the size, I mean, it's pretty big, right? Like that's my hand. So it's big. So this goes in my back jean pocket. And what this allows me to do is carry all of my EDC stuff in it. And it doesn't bulge my pocket out. It all stays one, like, and when I sit on it, it's super comfortable because it's leather. So I'll show you guys what I keep in here. So first of all, clipped on the edge here is a pocket knife, right? Like everyone's got to have a pocket knife.
Take it out before you go to the airport.
Yes. I'm going to forget at some point. I'm going to end up losing this knife. So you got your pocket knife. And then another important, so these are the things that if you watch EDC videos, so you guys could, I mean, there is a YouTube rabbit hole, guys. I'm warning you. If you don't Google it, if you don't want to spend hours watching this. So then everyone's got a pocket knife. Everyone has a flashlight. So this is actually a 1,000 lumen flashlight. This thing is insanely bright. But I love it. Super small, super compact. I was actually carrying this before I got into EDC. I had my flashlight with me at all times in my back pocket.
Don't you have a phone that's got a flashlight on it?
But, I mean, once you use a bright flashlight, Jim, you will not go back. It is, and then the strobe feature, right, is just, I mean, it's that much better. So
here's hold on. I've got one too.
Oh, so you got one too.
I have a Windows 10. Yeah, mine's a Windows 10 flashlight. We have one of those super bright ones like you have there. This is pretty basic, right? Yeah, look at that.
Yeah.
You're sending me coded messages.
Coded strobe messages, right?
Yep, got to have a flashlight. That one I get. Although I it's funny, I'll go for that flashlight before I go for my phone's flashlight. And the phone's sitting right there. The flashlight on this phone is so good.
It's good, but it's not
it's not necessarily handy either. This is a pretty big form
factor. So I can whip this. So yeah.
You can't put it oftentimes. Oftentimes I end up doing this. Biting the end to, because I'm working on something and you can't do that with your phone.
And mine has the reverse clip on it. So you can just, if you're wearing a hat, which I'm oftentimes on the weekends wearing a hat, just clip it to the bill of your hat, which is good because usually it's when I'm going out in the garage, and I'm looking for something. And so I'll clip it to my hat so I can use my hands to dig through the garage and find something, or the basement, wherever I'm at. So there were the ones with the reverse clip. That's what you should look for. So flashlight, pocket knife, and then a little moleskin notebook. you know, so in case you need to write stuff down. Again, you got the phone with notes, but you'd be surprised once you start carrying around a little notebook, and these have pages that can tear out. Someone wants to know an email address, or someone's like, hey, what server is that on? Write down the server path for me. I'll just write it down real quick and tear it out and give it to them. So piece of paper. And then, of course, if you have that, you need a pen. So pick out your favorite pen, put it in there, right? And then finally I have, and this is actually, I was trying to find my favorite one. I have a few of these, and this is actually made for a bike. So if you're a biker, like a pedal bike, this is a multi-tool for a bike.
Holy crap. You have that thing in your back pocket all the time?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, but that's what I'm saying. So this leather organizer, the way it works and the way it disperses all that weight, I don't even feel it in my back pocket. I can sit on this thing all day and I don't feel it because it's that soft leather and it molds right to my body and right to all this stuff. And then the great part about it too is, all of these, like the clips and everything, don't wear a hole in my pocket. The trouble I ran into previously is those clips can really wear a hole in your jeans pocket. So it really does save you. But yeah, so this thing has all of the Allen wrenches. I can remove a bike tire. I don't need to ever because I don't ride bikes, but that's part of it. But I got it. It's got screwdrivers. It's got everything. Yeah. So, I mean, we're talking all of this stuff in my hands that I used to have in all these different pockets and stuff that's very useful. And what I love about this, you load it up, you stick it in your back pocket, you get home to change, you pull this whole thing just out of your back pocket and lay it on your nightstand. You don't have to fiddle with all this every morning and get it in your pockets, and you're not fumbling with things. You put it all in there, you stick it in your pocket, you pull it out at the end of the day, and you're good to go, and you've got it all with you. So yeah, something, you know, it's on the nerdy side, right? It's a pocket protector, Jim. So I thought, you know, I can talk about it on a tech show.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure this was all the rage back in the day.
No, it's super. Well, I don't know if what you say rage back in the day. What day was that ever a rage? Was there
pocket protectors?
Yeah. Well, oh, okay.
Like
the plastic ones,
right? Yeah, like, yeah. And they've really evolved since then to be actually really, I mean, this thing is really heavy duty. This is nice leather. It's really soft.
Yeah.
I'll probably still have to oil this up and clean it every once in a while. And
what'd you pay? What's the retail on that?
Only $19.
Okay.
So on Amazon. And I was worried it was going to be faux leather. It's not. It's real leather.
Nice.
But so the really cool thing about EDC though, real quick, is that you're just laughing. You're just like, okay, he can go on this.
No other Jim said nice purse.
It kind of looks like a purse, but you know what? It's
nothing wrong with a purse, by the way. If you want to have a purse, that's fine. With no judgment.
In my back pocket, there is like a centimeter of leather that shows. Yeah. So you don't even notice it's back there. There's just a little bit. So the cool part about watching these EDC videos, Jim, is that everyone's is so unique. Depending on what they do in their day-to-day, they have different stuff in their EDC. So people make these videos on YouTube showing what they carry with them every day. Mm-hmm. And if they're a programmer, sometimes they have a little guide to shortcuts of something, right? Or they'll have all these things that they carry with them that are unique. It's just really interesting to see what someone would carry. So it took me a while to figure out, what am I actually going to use every day? Mm-hmm. Like, and these are items that most days I will use maybe once, with the exception, this is a tool. A multi-tool is just something you'll only need once in a while, but when you have it, you'll be really glad you did, kind of thing.
I have a Craftsman. I was going to get it, and it's just too far away at this point, but I have a Craftsman multi-tool that, you know, folds out for a pair of pliers. It's got a knife and it's got a little saw kind of thing in it. That is probably, if I were going to do that and keep it with me, I hate things in my pocket. For the longest time, I didn't even carry a wallet. Like, I carried a, you know, when you buy a new wallet and you get that flap thing that you're supposed to put your driver's license in and something, right? It's a little flappy thing. For a couple of years, maybe five, that was my wallet. Just that thing.
Just the flap.
I put my driver's license in it and one credit card. And that was it. That's all I wanted. And I'd have receipts in there. And I tried for, I don't know, 3-4 years. I tried just to have that thing. That's all I wanted to have. I put it in my pocket. That's all. I hate things in my pocket. With that, something like that, like you're saying, it's comfortable. You may not notice.
Oh, yep.
Okay.
Yeah. I had stopped carrying everything else. I carry my flashlight only. And with this, I don't feel it. It slides right in the back pocket and just, it's like, it's not even there. Yeah. I would not carry all this stuff loose. That would drive me absolutely insane.
Oh yeah. 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 No. Yeah. My number two son used to carry about 6 pens in his front pocket all the time loose. Like, and he'd come in like, and he'd just start emptying his pockets. And I swear it was like an angry clown, and stuff was just coming out. Like, things just kept coming out of his pocket. Yeah. I'm like, where are you storing all that stuff? You know, and God, don't ever sit down. Don't ever pinch. Like, yeah, it could be dangerous. Right.
Yeah. So you probably used it. You would love a wallet like this. This is also, I went minimalist wallet. This is great. This holds a bunch of cards, has the driver's license on one side, and works really well. So that's in my other pocket.
Do you think you can get concerned with protecting the RF, you know, to get, they have those RF blockers, and Sarah has got all her credit cards. She's ordered some of those sleeves.
Yeah.
And she's got all her credit cards in those protectors, and I kind of laugh at her. My cards are actually so bad. Like, it's in a wallet in my pocket, and they're old, and they've been bent because the wallet bends, and then eventually they crack, right? And they go with chip cards. But are you worried about that at all?
I should be. Honestly, only one of my cards has RFID anyway, and it's my American Express, which I trust them. They've been so good. I have had fraud on that card before. They catch it before I even notice it. And even if they didn't, they take care of it. I'm not as worried about it. You know, if they start putting RFID in our driver's licenses or things like that, I might be more apt to be concerned about it. But like I said, I have one card and I'm not really concerned. If something
I've seen those wallets on Facebook where it's a hard shell, and then it kind of slides up and your cards are in there, and then it's protected on either side, or they have a protective and a non-protective section. The non-section is for folks who want to put bus cards or train cards or things where you want that right ID to be able to buzz into buildings. And then the blocked side is for your credit cards and stuff. I don't know, $35. I almost pulled the trigger because my cards get beat up so bad. I almost pulled the trigger on those protective wallets, but they're like, it's like having a tin can.
I was just going to say, they're so rigid. I tried one of because there's a lot of minimalist wallets in there. I ended up needing to go back to some sort of leather one or faux leather, whatever it is, because I couldn't stand the rigidity, and it wears a hole in your pants. Those hard ones, when you start to sit, it'll start to wear. I mean, you'll notice in your on your pocket.
It was like in the 80s when the skull can was the...
Exactly. It imprints, right? It's totally the same thing. This one, actually, either it's this one, they have a model where this inside slot is RFID. I don't even know.
It's protected, right?
Sorry, RFID protection. Yeah.
And it varies by card, right? Not all cards need that.
No, it's just a tap to pay cards.
Right. Yeah. Joe mentioned that in the chat room. Yeah, it's. I threw this out on Facebook. I don't know, a couple months ago. I was interested in wallet tech. Like, okay, where are we at with wallets? One, I would like to protect my cards. I'm a little embarrassed. I don't know why but I'm a little embarrassed when I pull my card out and it's just beat. Like, it's just dirty. You know, I'll have my wallet on me all the time. Dirt and sand gets in your pockets. It just does, right? And then it gets in your wallet, and then it just grinds like sandpaper in your wallet. And then it just destroys your cards. So the part of my cards that are exposed in my wallet are just wrecked. And it's like, I'd like a little better. I use my Chase card so much that the card is actually peeling apart in sections, right? And I'm like, okay, I'm going to have to order another card from Chase here coming up. So I was looking for a little bit of a better protection. I wouldn't be totally excited about your pocket device there, or even the wallet you have would suffer a similar fate with getting dust and dirt inside your wallet. I have been thinking about the protection of it. I don't know. If you've got some ideas on this, love to hear about them. Jump into our Discord group, theaverageguy.tv/Discord. And let's go into the general section for now. If we get a lot of conversation around it, maybe we'll create a group for it.
EDC channel. Oh, God.
So if you're pro EDC, is this right? Is this
something? Yeah, Jim, I'll admit I'm even part of an EDC Discord. And you know what, though? You laugh. There are 75,000 members in this EDC Discord.
Freaking millennials. No,
old guys like you. They love it. No, I didn't mean that. Not that you're old. I'm just saying.
I'm pretty old. It's okay.
It's a bunch of it's multi-generational, Jim. Everyone
just like this show.
Who doesn't multi-generational. Love leather in their pocket. I mean, this it's manly. It's awesome.
Right on. I'm with it. Mark, thanks for joining us tonight.
My dad called me my grandpa, though. He's like, "All right, Andy." Apparently my grandpa used to have like literally the same sort of thing, and he would have pliers and stuff back, because that's what it's meant for. This is meant for if you're on a work site and you need stuff that's not going to poke a hole through your pocket,
right? Or your pants, or your pants, right? I could just hear, and maybe I could just hear your dad say this. Maybe this is a thing that skips generations too, where like my generation, I'm your dad's generation, right?
Yep.
So it skips us, but it hits you guys because there's some practicalness to it. And your dad didn't do it. So you think it's like a new thing.
Yeah. Like it's not like that nerdy thing your dad did. Right. Cause yeah, they didn't do it. And like, oh yeah, that's been around for forever.
Might be something that
skips. It's like my generation going back and plugging in an antenna to our TV and be like, do you guys know there's free TV that comes over the airwaves? It's insane. They give it away for free. It's so cool.
Oh, that is so great. That is so, yeah, that is so great. Forever. Do you, Mike, you mentioned, do you budget? We've got a good budget app that you were talking about in the reviews. Have you been moving around budget apps? It seems like you've been trying to figure out some ways you've landed on this one. Talk a little bit about it real quick.
Yeah. Just real quick. Hannah and I have been trying a bunch of different budget apps. We never really found one that worked the way we wanted it to. We went through Dave Ramsey's course when we got married. That's kind of our financial pre-marriage. Piece. Yeah. Financial Peace. We went through Financial Peace, and it was a great course. We all know Dave. We all know his views. You don't have to agree with him on everything, but he does have some pretty good things, especially for a young married couple, to make sure you don't get in trouble. And the one thing we really liked from his system, that we were actually one of the few couples in our group that actually liked it, was the envelope system, which is the envelope system, if you don't know, is every time you get your paycheck, you go and take it out in cash, and you literally have a physical envelope for each category in your budget. Groceries has an envelope. Entertainment has an envelope. Utilities has an envelope, and you're putting these cash in the envelopes. And then once you've used the cash in that envelope, there's no more. So once you've gone through your entertainment envelope, sorry, like that's done for the month. And stuff like that. So, but that obviously is not practical anymore with how the world works. You can't just go take cash out, right? Everything we pay for, at least the way Hannah and I do it, is with our card. And so that just didn't work. So we wanted an app that really did the envelope system really well. And there are a few out there that do it okay. Dave Ramsey actually has his own app. But I'll let you know, if you go against him in any way, if you use a credit card, because he says don't, it doesn't work with the app, because it doesn't allow that sort of functionality as far as I'm trying to pay down a credit card or I have this. So goodbudget.com is, if you want the envelope system in digital form and you want it on your phones synced across, because these were all the requirements we had. Envelope system, Hannah and I's phones needed to sync, because I need her and I's to be on the same page and have a web portal for when we don't have our phones with us. And Good Budget just does it all. It's super, super convenient. The one thing it doesn't do, it will not, and maybe it'll do it with a debit card, but I don't think so. It doesn't automatically pull transactions in. So you have to go in. That was the only downside, but we are used to that with American Express, because American Express, like I said, doesn't feed to a lot of these systems that we've always tried in the past. So yeah, if you're looking for a good envelope style online app, goodbudget.com is the way to go.
That's super cool. I think this is an important thing to do, to just depend on your spending. I do think, I don't know, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think for those of us who grew up in the 80s and experienced the credit card craze of the 90s. So we were all adults. We were all your age during this. And the credit card spending was just horrendous. I mean, there were people spending student loan size debts in just buying stuff, right? And it was really common to hear stories of people saying, yeah, I racked up $60,000 or $70,000 or $80,000 in credit card debt, right? Unsecure, high interest rates. I mean, at least the student loan is at 7% and a little forbearance, and they kind of work with you, right? Right. The credit card companies, this was high fees, high interest rates. People were just spending. I think in a reaction to that crazy spending we had in the 90s, in the correction of the 2000s is the stock market, you know, big bubble in 2000, 2001, it bursts. We spend a little bit of time correcting that. I do feel like I don't hear as many stories anymore. Now, I could be in my own bubble, but I'm just, Mike, with your age group, your friends, do you hear stories of people where that are just to me, they have so much school debt that they're like, I'm not taking on credit card debt. So maybe that stops them from doing
it. You hit the nail on the head. My generation is so crippled by student loan debt. I think that is the craze that my generation went through. Maybe that was like the credit card phase when you guys went through that, which is every kid now, you can sign on the dotted line for $200,000 to $300,000 worth of loans in a few years, and that loan's just with you. So I think kids are graduating and seeing that and feeling that, and then it kind of helps them not do. I mean, yes, do we still have credit card debt? For sure, right? Like everyone does. But I don't think it's as bad, because I think we're feeling the hurt on the student loans.
Okay. Well, that kind of makes sense. It's been a long time since I've had any credit card debt. We worked really hard early when we were young. I had it for sure. And we worked, we used another budgeting guru, Larry Burkett.
Yeah.
And he very similar for Dave Ramsey, just a little before Dave. And we did the envelope system. We got out of debt when I was in the military. I'd gotten in a bunch of debt, and we got out of it by the time I got out of the military. We moved here. That allowed us to kind of do some things here, being debt free, getting here. We had to take on some debt, of course, to buy a house and do some other things. That really gave us a whole bunch of options when we got down to that, you know, when we got to that point. So super cool. During college and after college, we took on some debt. I haven't taken on any credit card debt in a long time, but that doesn't mean it's not a problem. And I used to budget. I used Microsoft Money for the longest time. They deprecated that, and that no longer exists. You have to use QuickBooks or something along. And I'm just not as committed anymore to the full budget, Mike. I've actually created my own system in Excel where I take my credit card. My credit card is one expense. So every month we pay it off. So regardless of what we spend, it's one expense. So that line item goes in the credit card. And then all the reoccurring gas, electric, insurance, you know, the car payments, those kinds of things, those become other line items. So I maybe have 30 items that I just copy and paste from one month to the next. I know these things are coming up, and it has a running total down the side. And I always keep about 2 months out to kind of, and it, so I call it the cash flow budget, which is how is my cash flow for the next 2 months? Like that's all I'm really worried about. And we, if it's starting to look tight, we can make some changes very, very quickly to just kind of, okay, next couple months looks pretty tight. Let's tighten up on a few things. It's just the two of us, right? I don't have kids. You know, I'm spending beer money at this point, for God's sake. So we don't have kids where we're buying clothes, or we have school expenses, or we have some of those kinds of things. And it has so stressed me out less doing that method where I've got this 2 month projection, and has been very, very successful. And it's just an Excel spreadsheet. And so, you know, I always tell people, find the system that works for you. We budgeted to the penny for a lot of years because we had to. We didn't budget for 5 years because I hated the budget. Like I hated doing it so much. I rebelled. I gave it to Sarah. She hated it. We just decided we weren't going to do it. Like, and you can't do that forever. Like that doesn't work. The only thing that saved us in those years when we weren't budgeting is all the automatic payments, right? So everything we'd set up in the accounts to automatically pay everything. So the check hits, everything gets automatically paid, including savings, right? So we'd have savings come out, 401k come out, all those things happen automatically. And whatever was left could be spent. And it's not a great way to live life, but we did that for a while until I did this kind of cash flow method. Worked out really, really well. So
yeah,
Mike, this goodbudget.com is a way, if you're struggling with it, use some technology in your favor, right?
Definitely.
Get this stuff to work for you.
And that was it for me, Jim, is, you know, we're in a time where we need to just lock down, right? Like these kids, their daycare is extremely expensive. And that was a recent expense that hit. We were living pretty good before that. Like before these kids, I was kind of doing the same thing. I knew we were going to be fine. And so when our budget drastically changed a few months ago, it stresses me out to not know. I can't just be willy-nilly and it stresses me out to a max. Once I see it in a plan, I could even see that we're way behind on paper. And that is better for me than thinking I'm ahead and just not knowing. Because if I see it on paper and we have a plan, we're good. I'm not stressed. We have a plan. We know where the money is going. So it was something. Hannah is the opposite. Hannah doesn't want to. She trusts that I'm taking care of it. I mean, she is actually the fiscally responsible one. I am not. So maybe that's why I need the plan and she doesn't, because she's just a natural saver. She doesn't spend any money. So for me, it's beneficial. So yeah, if you're struggling with it, and even if you're not, if you are trying to save up for something, you're not even paying off debt, you're good. Use it. Plug it in. See, I bet you'll be really surprised how fast you can save. Hannah and I were shocked at the amount that these little things add up. Mm-hmm. I mean, things that are only $2, but you're doing them every day or you're doing them every other day, and how fast that adds up, or all the things. You guys would be surprised how many subscriptions you have that you don't know about when you go and check through your credit card. Like, oh, I'm still paying $10 a month for the Wall Street Journal. I haven't even opened that online subscription for forever. Things like that.
Yeah, that's the ones that get you. It's the online ones where you don't use them. I'm paying $5 a month for Plex, and I don't have a Plex server running at the moment. I shut it down. I'm like, oh, I'm going to try YouTube TV. I'll shut off that Plex thing. And then I kept thinking, well, maybe I'll go back to Plex. So I'll just leave it. It's only $5. Well, it's been 5 times 6 months now, and I haven't used Plex. And
yeah,
it's just $5, but that stuff adds up, right?
That's one where I need. I just need to buy the lifetime pass. I've been paying $5 a month for 5 years. I should have just bought the
160 bucks or something.
Yeah, for a lifetime pass. Yeah.
I wish I would have bought it when it was $50 back 4 or 5 years ago.
No kidding.
Many who listen to this program who bought the lifetime. You know, it's a risk when you buy it. It's a little bit cheaper. You don't know if it's going to last or if it's going to stay around, but. Yeah, there's a lot of great technologies to help you financially. That is one of those kinds of things that I have a real soft spot in my heart for people and their struggles with this, with finances. It's not easy. And for the longest time, we gave any new couple that got married, we gave them Larry Burkett's book, The Complete Financial Guide for Young Couples. It was written 30 years ago, 35 years ago, still as good today as it was then. And I think, like you're saying, Mike, you might need to be a little more hypersensitive. The younger you are, the less money you're making. You got to be more careful with it. As you get older, kids go away, expenses get a little bit less. Although if you're young and you're not saving for retirement, and then you get older and you have all that money and you're not saving for retirement, you have a problem.
Yeah.
And so we were poor for a lot of years, and I'm playing catch up in our retirement stuff. And so I'm cramming just as much money. I meet with my financial planner twice a year. And I say, am I doing enough? Am I putting enough away? Are we on track? Are we on plan? Do I need to put more in? And I'm to that point where I can, you know, I can kind of ramp that up by $100 or $200 a month if I need to kind of make that happen.
Yeah.
So, you know,
smart.
No, good way to do it. So thanks for bringing that up real quick as we kind of bring this in for a close.
Yeah.
You sold your some servers?
I sold all my servers, Jim. All of them. No, except for Unraid. I know. This is so funny because we were just talking about Untangle. Well, the box that I ran Untangle on, I sold. So I am no longer using Untangle. I plan on bringing Untangle back by I'm going to get a box that's way cheaper on power than what I was running. But I had a Dell R210 and I had a Dell R710. The Dell R710 was a very easy decision. That had been, you know, it only took 2.5-inch drives. Right. So loading that up, it was not going to be a storage server, but it was still a great server. I'm like, I need to sell this thing because it's been off. I need to sell it before it's completely outdated. But we've talked about the luck of things and, you know, they're really in demand right now. That's also what I saw was these servers for some reason are in demand. So I was able to sell both of them for more than I bought them for 2 years ago. So that was nice. I don't know why they're in demand right now, but people are loving these Dell R710s and these Dell R210s. Sold the Dell R710 locally. That helped a lot because I did not pay eBay fees. I did not pay shipping fees, just Facebook Marketplace. Some guy was like full price. Didn't even ask about a different price, just paid full price. Nicest guy ever. Met up with him. He was super excited about it. Yeah. And then sold the R210 as well. So that means since I got rid of Untangle, I moved over to a Unify USG, which I didn't really realize, even though it's a lower power server, that Dell R210 was kind of idiotic for me to run that as my router full time with Untangle, just because of the power draw. This USG has been great. So I've been playing around. I'll talk to you guys more about now I'm in a full Unify environment. I have their USG as my router and firewall, and I also have their access points. Teaser though, it's freaking awesome when you are pure Unify. If you live in the Unify ecosystem, it's really nice. The controller works well. Their upgrades of the controller lately have actually finally brought some of the features that people have been complaining about for a long time. People were saying that for Unify USGs for the router, you actually needed to get in and do some command line and program it that way. Really not the case anymore unless you're doing some very advanced things, but I run VLANs, I have firewall rules, I have all of that, and it's all done in the controller. So pretty exciting.
Cool.
But again, like you said, I just decided I was going to sell them. It was, I know. You know, I was on the show 3 weeks ago.
You have great luck when you do that. Like, I just can't believe how lucky you are when you sell these things.
Yeah, I know. Well, I think that led into it a little bit. I did my research on what are these going for, and I saw that for some reason there was a demand for these right now. I'm like, well, if I'm going to sell, might as well sell now at an upturn in the market and make some money on these things.
Right. No, for sure. Well, pretty good stories. Thanks for coming on and bringing all that stuff this week. A couple of reminders. Next week, Tony Rayner joins us. We're having Patrick Stewart, not Captain Picard, but Patrick Stewart, from Hubtat. is how I think is how it's pronounced. Hubitat. Hubitat.com. They're a home automation company. And Tony asked if they would come on. He's going to join us, and they will join us as well. So that's coming up here on the 18th. If you don't join us, normally join us live. You might want to do that Thursday, the 18th, 8 p.m. Central. Join us. Mike and I are back for the next 2 weeks. Actually, May 2nd is our 400th show.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, nice. 400. So Christian's coming back. Zadler's coming back. You'll be here, and I hope. And we'll do, what do you think? Are you
May 2nd? No, I'm here that the one, May 9th is actually, I'm not here on May 9th.
Oh, that's okay. Because May 9th, we have Micah coming back. And this girl has been crushing some headphones. Like, she has been trying to figure out, she's super busy in her office, and she's been doing the Peloton bike. And so she's been trying out all this headphone gear, like this, the Bose in-ear stuff. She's been working on some office stuff. She's doing a lot of remote working where she's on the phone all day. And so she's been trying out some Jabra stuff. So awesome. She's going to come talk a little bit about that. That's coming up after the big 400. So show.
I'm excited for 400. May 2nd.
Yeah. May 2nd is awesome. Is 400. That's the weekend of Star Wars Day with May 4th, right?
Oh, May 4th. May the 4th be with you.
Star Wars Day. So we've got a lot of cool stuff coming up. So we've got some $398 next week with Patrick Stewart, and then we have $399 you and me. 400, we'll have the whole party back. This would be, if you're not normally a live listener, the next couple weeks might be a great week to just join us live. So if you can do it, Thursday nights, 8 p.m. Central, 9 Eastern, translate that into whatever. We don't have daylight savings time for a while. I think the whole world has changed now. So get out there, join us. We'd love to have you get out here and do that. We got a lot of great stuff coming up, and love to have you. A couple reminders then before we go. One, I want to thank those Patreon subscribers again for doing what they do to help us out. You can do that as well if you want to jump in there. TheAverageGuy.tv/Patreon will get you done there as well. We mentioned the Discord group, TheAverageGuy.tv/Discord. Get you there. If you want to send me an email, just give us some feedback. Appreciate that. Many of you have done that. Joe sent me a little note this week about I was complaining 2 weeks ago about Windows Media Center going away, and he was kind enough to say, hey, I might have some stuff that will help you. And Joe, I appreciate that. If you want to contact us in some way, or you got some kind of conversation, you want to say how good the show is, if you don't like it, I'm not as interested in hearing that. But if you want to send me an email, Jim, just come on. Nobody wants to get bad email, right, Mike?
Yeah. No, that's true.
Yeah, Jim at TheAverageGuy.tv is the way to do it. At Jay Collison on Twitter. Is the way to get that done. If we want to remind you that the AverageGuy.tv platform, both web and media hosting, powered by Maple Grove Partners. So get securable. Is that a new thing? Get a high speed, secure. I've only said this like 8,000 times. Get secure, reliable, high speed hosting. There you go. From people that you know and you trust. For more information, visit Maple Grove Partners. Isn't that funny how there's just some moments in life where, like, it's your own children's name and you can't remember it?
For me, it was when I was a kid. I was petrified. I went to a Catholic high school to say the Hail Mary. You could say a Hail Mary. It's one of those, if you're a Catholic, like, you have memorized the Hail Mary. You get up to say that in front of people and all of a sudden you just blank on it. And it's real embarrassing. I had the same. That's like, it brings back like terror moments of having to get up and like do a rosary and like say the Hail Mary in front of people.
Yeah. Well, that's crazy. Anyways, MapleGrovePartners.com. If you, you shouldn't forget that one. We say it all the time. And of course, hosting plans start as little as $10 a month. He is a WordPress specialist and super, super secure. Mike, I've been listening to a new podcast from WordFence. They are a plugin for WordPress that's security. And they have their own podcast now. And I think it's called Think Like a Hacker or something like that. Super interesting and super scary all at the same time. These guys see the worst of the web. And so it's kind of like Cyber Frontiers, not as in-depth as Christian goes. Christian's got all of this, but if you host a website, if you have a WordPress site, if you have any of those things, they do not pimp their service at all on the podcast, and it's been pretty good. So if you look for, and I just did this impromptu, so I didn't, let me make sure I wasn't planning on saying this, nor am I endorsing their plugin, but it's been a really cool podcast if you're interested in that security piece. And it is called, it's not called Suit and Scrubs. Where the heck is Suit and Scrubs?
It's coming back. I promise. We've got some in the can. We've got a plan for it. don't give up on us. Stay subscribed. Although your podcatcher app has probably already kicked us off because it's been over a month. So
no, it's stayed there for me. So, and now I can't find this. I think it's called Think Like a Hacker. Shoot. Let's see. I'll put it in the show notes.
So while you're talking about that one, Lawrence Systems on YouTube. First of all, if you're into kind of business around IT, small business, setting up Wi-Fi units, all sorts of stuff, they're great. But Lawrence Systems has a new series they do called How They Got Hacked. Same sort of thing. They cover some of the bigger kind of hacking stories that you haven't heard about. Really cool. So along that same lines.
Super great. Think Like a Hacker with WordFence. I was super close. Right. So like a hacker. Check that out. Not the smoothest podcast in the world, but some really good information if you're in that space. Something worth listening to. Don't forget,
if you love us, you'll love them. It's perfect. You know,
kind of awkward and an old guy and a young guy. So if you listen to Home Gadget Geeks on your phone, get the app available Android or iPhone available for you. Of course, streaming is the best way to get that on our apps, and that's the way Spreaker does it. So go to homegadgetgeeks.com, and you can get that downloaded for free. Mike, we actually had to pause our HelloFresh boxes this week. We got five. No. We got backed up. Like I had HelloFresh constipation. That's what I had. Like there were five bags in the fridge. I was like, what do we do? When are we going to cook these things?
A little backed up.
I just got a little backed up. So yeah. we've slowed down but that's the great thing about HelloFresh is if you get into a spot where you're having a little trouble getting things moving, you can just stop the service and they stop coming. And so it's been good. We got some things to catch up, and yet we're going to cook last night, and I took her out to dinner at Roma's. And then we're going to do some stuff tonight. We had leftovers from Roma. So we're going to have to do some cooking. One of the cool things about the whole thing is that if you do delay, you get some stuff in the fridge, you just don't use it. The fresh stuff is going to go bad. It will. Yeah. Just throw that in your compost pile. Then go to the store and just buy what you need. It's super easy. Like you can just replace it with fresh stuff. And so I've got a bunch of coupons. I think I'm up to 7 now because nobody's been asking for them for a while. So if you want a HelloFresh coupon, I can basically get you an entire week for free. So I have a bunch of those. So send me an email, jim@theaverageguy.tv, and I'll give you the code. We are live every Thursday, 8 p.m. Central, 9 Eastern. By the way, I don't make any money off that. Okay, no money. It's just I just do it because it's super good. Okay, we are live every Thursday, 8 p.m. Central, 9 Eastern now here at theaverageguy.tv/live. We definitely have some stuff to update you on crypto. So if you want to stay around for the crypto show, don't leave. Don't go taking off. And thanks for everybody who joined us on the live show and has given us the appreciation for Bryant too. So we appreciate you guys. Stay around for a little bit. I have got an update on a Seagate RMA that I sent in. I had a little interesting story around that. And we have some other things as well about pricing. So hang tight. We'll be back. With that, we'll say goodnight, everybody.